And Jackie, if you've got a shepherd's crook and I'm going on too long, perhaps you could pull me off stage right. And the other is because of the prayers that have been offered up already this morning, especially for me. Thank you. Gloria, before I came, prayed for me. Jim prayed for me in the anteroom before. Deirdre prayed, and she prayed that the Lord would bless us in our relationships. Tian prayed, whilst praying for Gordon, that he would strengthen our relationships one with another. And effectively, that's what this morning is about. Jesus' empathy with us. And I'd like to spend a minute or so trying to explain the difference between sympathy and empathy. For example, in Romans 12 and verse 15, Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn." Having sympathy for someone or something can be a remote and detached thing, in that you don't necessarily have to be facing the person or problem. One dictionary definition is to share an emotional experience without being subjected to the same cause. So I suppose we could and do sympathise for the people affected by the floods in Pakistan and China. However, in the verse just quoted from Paul, he exhorts us to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. This also doesn't necessarily mean that you're face to face with the person, but it does mean that you're in some committed, caring contact with them. And the ability to feel and communicate true empathy with another person is an extremely important way to feel and communicate your love to them. So empathy is the identification with and the experiencing of the thoughts and feelings of another person. We can identify with another because we have maybe been in similar situations and can remember what we felt and thought. And even if we haven't been in exactly the same situation, we still know what it's like to feel alone, afraid, sick, and hungry, and so forth. So let's first explore for a minute or so how we can empathize and throughout compare this with the eternal, faithful, and true love and empathy that Jesus himself displays. And in order to feel empathy accurately, we need to bring into play some very real skills. In the first place, we need to closely pay attention to the other person's total communication, which includes not what just the person is saying, but also the emotional tone of his or her speech, facial expression, body language, etc. I think probably the worst thing that we can say, although it is usually said with the best of intentions, is, "Oh, I know exactly how you feel." Instead, we should let them talk while we listen. We need to set aside our personal thoughts for the moment so that the focus of our concentration is on really hearing the other person's words. And this, for some of us, is very difficult. We need, in effect, to deny ourselves for that period. And the focus is not so easy, as we are oftentimes in the habit of A, thinking of our own concerns, or B, thinking of what we're going to say in response, even before the person is through speaking. Proverbs 18 and verse 13 tells us, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame." Once we've hopefully felt and understood the other person accurately, we need to let the other person know that. Much better than saying, "I know exactly how you feel." We should communicate our understanding by responding with a phrase that echoes what he or she said. For example, we could say, "Sounds like you were terrified. I was really scared when I lost my dog too." So this thing, empathy, is so important and is at the very core of Jesus' motivations when he died on the cross for us. He had the capacity to feel empathy and compassion for us to the very core of his being. He knew our situation and our weaknesses, and he deeply, deeply cared. His response was to do something to break down the barrier between God and man so that we could have eternal life. Jesus' empathy was active and involved. He healed, he helped, he loved, and ultimately he died and rose again. So we too, when we learn to display empathy, discover it breaks down barriers between persons and builds instead bridges. When someone is sharing his or her experience with us, the person is allowing us to know them a little better, a little more deeply. When we respond with empathy, we are letting the other know us a little more deeply. And in the interaction between the two of us, we have become more one in understanding the motives, feelings, accessibility, etc. And we're also treating one another with mutual respect, consideration, and as real persons. And being really understood helps a person to feel emotionally supported. Burdens are shared, and he or she is not alone. Practicing empathy helps all of us to progress further on the road to true loving kindness. We show that we really care and that we are really there. The more we empathize, the more we mature as the best loving humans we can be, because we realize the kinship between us. Deep underneath the surface, we're all basically all alike and all God's family. So we can identify to the point that we acutely feel the feelings of the other person. Right in the middle of the passage that John read today, the shortest verse in the whole Bible, Jesus wept, verse 35. And why? He was fully human. It wasn't just that the futility and horror of death, it was because he had an empathy with these two sisters of Lazarus. I think most of us have seen around the area paramedic ambulances parked up at strategic places in our zone. Gresham Roundabout, the A3M approach lanes. And they're actually sitting on their patch and they wait for a shout to respond to. Well, just imagine for a moment that last Wednesday morning, one of these teams gets a shout about a person who is gravely ill. They record it in their log, and then, seeing that it's some distance away, they decide to continue sitting where they are. They're actually on duty for the whole week, and they decide to hang about, not just for the whole day, but until this morning, Sunday, before they respond. So 4 whole days have passed before they respond, arriving at the man's address, only to find that he actually died on the Wednesday. Had they responded last Wednesday and carried out their well-rehearsed procedures, it may have resulted in the saving of his life. Early in this chapter in John 11, Jesus decides to tarry 2 whole days before travelling from where he was, across the Jordan where John used to baptise, to Bethany, just a couple of miles from Jerusalem. Lazarus had been in his tomb for 4 days. And verses 41 and 42 tell us, "So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.'" And after praying, and from our reading, verse 43 and 44 tells us, when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." One of those songs that Gordon sang was, "There's nothing our God cannot do," almost shortens this talk even more. So Jesus' empathy with Mary and Martha, and with Lazarus too, and his empathy with you and me should encourage us to strive to show our empathy one with another. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize," in the Greek that says, "suffer with us in our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Remember this word also, empathy. We can empathize in joyful things too. To have this close connection with someone, this empathy involves rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. For instance, when I'm joyful and excited about something, the recent birth of a new grandson, little Ashley, I felt the urge to tell people who would be joyful and excited with me, as indicated by their joyful, excited response. In an opposite situation, taking seriously someone's sorrow, or their heartbreak or anxiety is equally extremely important. And how it hurts when someone makes light of our pain, physical or emotional. So, genuine empathy can be wonderfully healing, encouraging, life-giving, and relationship-building, all things that have been prayed for today. It can take away loneliness, leave feelings of warm satisfaction, and allow Christ-like love to flow. Jesus said he wants us to be one, as he and the Father are one, with similar spirits, goals, feelings and thoughts, etc. By displaying empathy, we can offer kindness, gentleness, patience, caring, understanding and compassion, all those gifts hinted at of the Holy Spirit. They're tremendously healing and strengthening. And I'd like to just close this hopefully relatively short talk and ask you to listen now to Paul's personal and tender words when writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2 and verses 1 to 4. He says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Thank you. I'd like to stand there with our closing hymn, number 449, "Love Divine, All Loves Excelling." Thank you.
And what Malcolm has shared with us this morning gives us a sense of God's empathy for us. But maybe too, in what Malcolm has been saying, is there's a greater need for us to express that empathy one with another. Could we just pray? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its freshness. We thank you for the clarity with which it can speak to us, Lord. And I thank you for Malcolm's faithfulness in sharing it with us this morning. And Lord, we have been challenged this morning to remind ourselves of your empathy with us. An empathy, Lord, which drew to a conclusion in one sense on that cross at Calvary. And that the outcome of it is that our burdens can be lifted. We're thinking of supporting someone, feeling their pain. But very often one of our greatest frustrations is that, like the children this morning, we can't lift it. We can't get rid of it ourselves. But we're reminded, as Gordon sang today, that our God can do all things. And that our burdens can be lifted at Calvary. And so, Lord, just wherever we're at this morning in our walk with you, wherever we're at in our relationship with you, in our relationships with each other, Lord, we just pray now that our burdens would be lifted at that cross, and that in being enabled in this way, we would be there, just as the children were this morning, to lift that chair. And we want to pray, Lord, that you will equip and enable us to do that. And we bless your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Stand and sing.